eye-catching results across Europe as match day four got off to an extraordinary start. Ruben Amorim said an emotional goodbye to Sporting with a thumping win over Manchester City in his last home game in charge. Milan beat Real Madrid in the Battle of the Giants at the Bernabeu, whilst Liverpool saw off Leverkusen to continue their 100% start. There were also wins for Celtic, Monaco, Dortmund, PSV and Dinamo Zagreb. We'll review it all and we'll look ahead to nine more cracking games on Wednesday in the UEFA Champions League. Along with me, Chris Parrott, and good evening as well to European football expert Andy Brassel.
Good evening.
And to football commentator Phil Blacker.
Hello, Chris.
Well, what a night it was. Let's quickly run through all of Tuesday's scores. Sporting 4, Manchester City 1, Real Madrid 1, Milan 3, Liverpool 4, Leverkusen 0, Lille 1, Juventus 1, Celtic 3, Leipzig 1, Dortmund 1, Sturm Graz 0, Bologna 0, Monaco 1, PSV 4, Girona 0, and Slovan Bratislava 1, Dinamo Zagreb 4. Let's start in Portugal then. Ruben Amorim's final home match before departing Sporting for Manchester United. Ironically, it was his future rivals Manchester City who made the trip to Lisbon. At half-time, it was level at 1-1. Phil Foden gave City the lead before Viktor Gyökeres equalised. And then a second half to remember for Sporting. Two goals in the first 4 minutes through Maximiliano Araujo and a Gyökeres spot kick. And then Gyökeres secured a famous victory with another penalty to complete a hat-trick. Up against Edison, Gyökeres fires home! A hat-trick for him, underlining just why the Swedish star is one of the most feared strikers in European football. What a night for Sporting. They are 4-1 up against Manchester City. And Ruben Amorim is saying goodbye in the perfect manner. I'm not sure many saw this one coming, Andy and Phil. Andy, you've been a lifelong lover of Portuguese football. This was Ruben Amorim's final home game. Did this just show what a job he's done there in the 2.5 years? Because they were sensational.
Yeah, they were extraordinary. And I think the resilience really was something so impressive. You think of them going a goal down, as you said, to Phil Foden so early on, and it would have been easy to think of February 2022 and when they were beaten so heavily by Manchester City at a point where they were, you know, at a really good level as well, Sporting, and they just couldn't hold a candle to Manchester City, losing 5-0 on that occasion. And this time, they took it on the chin, even when Viktor Gyökeres missed a great chance to equalise. They never lost their belief in themselves, and it shows how far they've come in that time. You know, it's an extraordinary job that he's done there. 7 trophies, and he's left them in second place in the new UEFA Champions League.
And I think that's key as well, isn't it? It's a fabulous way for him to bow out, to showcase really everything that he's done. But it's also about the situation that he leaves them in such a position of strength with so many possibilities to come in the season ahead domestically, but also in the Champions League as well, where surely at this stage they've exceeded expectations. But now they've shown what's possible with this group of players. Without Ruben Amorim in charge, they'll look to push on now and build on the foundations that he's very clearly put in place.
There were some very nice moments, and he has his final game at Braga at the weekend before then moving to Manchester. Lovely moment with Martin Hjulmand, his captain, who said before the match that Ruben was one of the reasons why I came here. The way that he manages the team both on and off the pitch is not like anything I've seen in my short career. He had a lovely moment with the hat-trick hero as well. And Andy, it just felt really nice that in an era of football where legends don't necessarily get the chance to say goodbye, particularly not coaches, that he did have that opportunity at home to not only kind of wave goodbye and say his thanks to the supporters, but do it off the back of such a big, impressive win.
Yes, and I think it's easy to say that his team have dug in and given him a night to remember. I don't really think it's about that. Even though it will feel like that, and that will be the headline for a lot of people, this Sporting team have been unbelievable this season. 10 wins out of 10 in the Portuguese Liga. And let me tell you, Porto and Benfica fans are delighted to see the back of Amorim, because anything that makes them think that they have a little chance of getting back into the title race, Sporting, playing as they are at the moment, are one of the very best teams in Europe. And that's remarkable to say about a Portuguese team, and especially a Portuguese team that's not a Porto or Benfica side. It shows the extraordinary work he's done. And the way they came out for the second half and hit Manchester City with the 1-2, I don't think I've ever seen that happen to Manchester City. The fact that they had not just desire, but a plan, the quality, the smarts, all of it was there.
And it speaks volumes, doesn't it, to the character, the mentality of the players to produce that performance in this circumstance. Because now it's easy to reflect on, yeah, what a great night, a farewell in front of the home fans for Ruben Amorim. But how often do teams, when a successful manager is announced that he's leaving, teams, you know, can't back up the performances that they've previously put in? They're affected maybe by all the speculation that had been going on, and then the disappointment of the decision. Not a bit of that, was there? They came out and they delivered a performance like this to be proud of, a result to make the rest of Europe sit up and take notice. And for whoever does replace him, that will be something to build on as well. And that's something I think that he has helped instill in that squad of players. But that mentality is there now, isn't it?
And he was so eager to say and make the point over and over again that I'm not at Manchester United yet. I have two more games, 100% focus on Sporting. We don't see it that often when managers almost serve out a bit of a notice period. Normally,
this is it, yeah.
Normally, they're gone immediately. So to back that up with the result, and it helps when you have a striker of Viktor Gyökeres' standard. His numbers, I mean, averaging nearly a goal a game since he's arrived. And if anybody doubted before this season, could he do it against the very best? Well, I mean, he's amongst the top scorers now, and he's just got a hat-trick against Manchester City, of all teams.
And it's funny that he's done it against Manchester City, because the 19 club goals,
yeah,
not counting his goals for Sweden, that he's scored so far this season, I mean, they're Erling Haaland-esque numbers. That's the only way to describe it. But Gyökeres has got an incredible all-round game as well, and that is so much a part of what Sporting are able to do. But they've been hungry for this moment and moments like these. I mean, the last time they lost at home in any competition was exactly a year ago, on the 5th of November 2023, against Atalanta in the UEFA Europa League. And if you go back to the season before that, when they lost out on the final day of the group phase, when they lost at home to Eintracht Frankfurt, that is one of those things, a bit like the 5-0 defeat to City, that really sticks in the throat. And that's one of the things that they have said collectively, not just Ruben Amorim, but all the players, we've got to be better than that, we've got to improve on that. And they have improved year on year.
Wonderful emotion during the game went on, and when Erling Haaland hit the bar with his penalty, some couldn't watch him take the penalty because they were so desperate to win the game. They knew if it was 3-2, there was still a chance. But with Gyökeres, Sporting always have an opportunity. He, unsurprisingly, the player of the match, and we can hear from him now.
We knew that it was going to be tough. We didn't start off well at all, but we know that they will give spaces, and they did. We could have scored more than four, I think, but and they also could have scored more, to be fair. But yeah, we defended well and did well to score four. So it's a good game for us.
So Sporting on to 10 points and second, as we've mentioned, in the league phase table. To the Bernabeu next. Real Madrid and Milan are now in 17th and 18th collectively. But it was a very good night for Milan, who came into this game looking for their second success in this league phase, and Andy Brassel to win 3-1, took the lead, pegged back, key goal from Alvaro Morata on half time, back in Madrid to make it 2-1, and then a goal from Tijani Reinders with 17 minutes left to complete the scoring. Antonio Rudiger got one back, but it was disallowed for offside. That is a very, very noteworthy win for Milan away at Real Madrid.
Very much so, Chris. And I don't think many people would have expected this beforehand. And we've talked about dealing with setbacks this evening. Well, I think you look at the concession of the equaliser to Vinicius Junior and you think, OK, Real Madrid are getting themselves back into gear then. For Milan to go and get themselves in front again before half-time, very, very impressive indeed. And Paolo Fonseca's not had an easy start to life at Milan. Of course, he's coached in Serie A before with Roma, but Milan, as you say, one of the traditional giants of the European Cup, of the UEFA Champions League, and that they have a lot of expectation that perhaps this current side, you know, they're not one of the greatest Milan sides ever, and I mean that as no criticism to them. They've had some of the very best sides in the history of this competition, but they've shown the grit, they've shown what they've built over the last couple of years. They've recruited very, very well. And Fonseca has taken some difficult decisions. He's kept Rafael Leao out the team and out the 11 for a lot of this campaign so far. He started him tonight, really, really paid off.
Yeah, he was one of their stars. Of course, Carlo Ancelotti had a couple of those great Milan teams as a coach and as a player, winning it both of those. A remarkable stat, 22 competition wins between them, Phil. When Milan won their seventh, Real Madrid only had eight. I say only. You know, they have had this incredible era. And you wondered at the end when Rudiger's goal went in, although it was, you know, correctly disallowed, were they going to be able to stage another comeback like they did against Dortmund on you know, match day three, like they've done so often in this era of dominance. So was that almost the most impressive thing that Milan were able to keep them out, given how many late goals they scored?
Yeah, I think so. I think of the era that you talk about, the aura that Real Madrid have is to the fore, isn't it? It's so significant and enduring, really, over so many seasons, and particularly with a Dortmund game so fresh in the memory still, for them to be in that situation again. You almost expect Real Madrid to be able to dig themselves out of that situation, but clearly not on this occasion. Milan did brilliantly. We talk about, or Andy talked about them, you know, recovering from adversity. I think in a slightly wider context as well, you think of the Liverpool Leverkusen game. Those two teams both beat Milan in the first two fixtures, didn't they? They lost back to back their opening two games of this league phase. To respond to those two setbacks with back to back wins of their own, to move level on points in the table with Madrid after the victory, speaks volumes of the way that they are able to respond as a group of players as well, I think.
And it is beginning to really take shape, this league phase table now. For everyone who played tonight, they've now played half of their game. So I think we're beginning to see who is truly emerging as the teams to catch, and who's going to be battling to maybe finish in the places just below them. You mentioned that match at Anfield. Well, let's go to Merseyside next. The former Liverpool star Xabi Alonso took his Leverkusen team to face Arne Slot's Liverpool. And Andy, Anfield, watch this one.
Liverpool 0, Leverkusen 0, but here come Liverpool and Luis Diaz with a dink over the goalkeeper after a fabulous through ball had found him, and Liverpool have found a way through. The breakthrough at Anfield on the hour, picture of composure in front of goal, was Luis Diaz.
And what a finish that is, Phil. So few chances, so few tangible chances for Liverpool this evening and for Luis Diaz, but when the chance did come his way, never looked like missing it.
Liverpool may be in the mood for more now. Luis Diaz again is on the move. Wider is Mo Salah. He delivers the cross and it's 2-0. Gakpo arriving far post to head it in, but the offside flag is up.
The referee is just saying how close it was, isn't he, with his hands there.
The decision comes and the goal is given and Liverpool do lead by two. Picking the pass for Mo Salah, corner of the penalty area, left-footed cross, bent in beautifully towards Luis Diaz, who will turn in the third goal for Liverpool. They're running away with it now. His second of the night. Darwin Nunez still has it. He's into the penalty area now. On the right foot, slipped a little bit with a shot, but it breaks back into the path of the hat-trick hero, Luis Diaz, to score Liverpool's fourth before the finish. 4-0 in added time. Luis Diaz has three of them. A huge smile breaks out on the face of Arne Slot. This is everything he and Liverpool could have dreamed of tonight. Four wins from four in the league phase. 4-0 at Anfield.
It's 12 points, which is why Liverpool are sitting pretty at the top of the table. It was all about Xabi Alonso before the game, gents. He got a muted reception. He's not a character I think he would have liked to go that and wave to everyone. He just took his place on the touchline. And then for 60-odd minutes, Phil, you know, Leverkusen, you could argue, were certainly Liverpool's equal. They controlled the ball. And then Liverpool scored four times. I mean, it was almost vintage Liverpool of, kind of, dare I say, Jurgen Klopp, some of his European wins, when they just score one and then able to blow teams away.
Some of the stuff they played in that last half an hour was fantastic. Because they had been frustrated for long spells. There was very little in it, I felt, in the first half. If anything, Leverkusen probably just about edged it. They would certainly have been the happier side at half-time. They defended with real diligence. Liverpool were restricted to very few opportunities at goal. But I think what is also so impressive about this team was the patience in their play. They didn't panic. They didn't get frustrated. They backed themselves that the quality would count. And it needed a wonderful opening goal for them to take the lead just past the hour. Brilliant through ball from Curtis Jones. More than matched, really, by the finish of Luis Diaz. So composed in front of goal, just to dink it over the goalkeeper. And that really seemed to kickstart them up another gear. Of course, it changed the context of the contest a little bit, and what followed was vintage Liverpool, as you say, and Leverkusen, who had been their equal, who had shown just why they are so highly rated, they've had such wonderful results under Xabi Alonso, why they will expect to progress through this league phase and quite possibly still will, despite the sobering lessons that may well have been learned at Anfield. They were no match for Liverpool in that last half an hour. When they talked about the levels that they had to get to, for so long they were doing that, they were matching Liverpool, but Liverpool went up a level or two. And I think very few teams in this competition would actually be able to live with them when they play like that.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Phil. I think in the last 30, 35 minutes, you'll struggle to get a better level of performance from any team in the group stage of this UEFA Champions League. Liverpool were unbelievable in that second half. And I think really you saw a little bit, I wouldn't say inexperience from Leverkusen, but maybe a lack of freshness in that point. The fact that normally we think of them getting out of these very unpromising situations. Well, part of that is Xabi Alonso being quick to make changes. Didn't have quite the depth on the bench as he would normally have this evening, particularly defensively and particularly with all those injuries they have at the moment and unavailabilities. So, not to make excuses for Leverkusen, but maybe that was the little bit that counted, because you need everything, every single resource at your disposal to be able to take on Liverpool at Anfield where they're in the mood like this. And I can't imagine Liverpool playing that well for any other game in this group stage, because they were just so good. That was the sort of performance that you want to pull out in the home leg of a quarter-final or a semi-final. The level was extraordinary.
Yeah, Arne Slot has gone in there and has fitted so beautifully well thus far. Liverpool unstoppable, and that front three were pretty frightening. Elsewhere, Lille 1, Juventus 1 on this Champions League Tuesday. Lille, having beaten Real Madrid and Atletico in their last two games, took the lead through Jonathan David in the first half. A very neat finish. Dusan Vlahovic with the equaliser with 30 minutes to go, so it finished 1-1 in the north of France, but Lille still very handily placed, as are Celtic, who picked up a second success to move on to 7 points after beating Leipzig, who are still looking for their first point after four defeats out of four. They're going very well in the German Bundesliga, but just haven't managed to turn that into Champions League points thus far. Celtic's hero in many ways, certainly the scorer of two of their goals in the first half. The first was a belter, was Nicholas Kühn, and we can hear from him now.
Yeah, I think what dreams are made of, even better to score against my former club, so yeah, really happy. At home, it's everything is possible with our fans, and we showed that today, and except the Dortmund game, we played some really good football.
You could tell they're very happy. It was some atmosphere. Brendan Rodgers, before the season started, Andy, you felt that he really believed Celtic could do something in this league phase, and particularly at home, with some of the fixtures they have. Well, it's two wins from two now in Glasgow. And I mean, 7 points sets them up really nicely for their remaining four games.
Yeah, and when we think of the great Celtic teams in the UEFA Champions League of 20 years ago, especially under Martin O'Neill, you think of them being extremely strong at home in Glasgow. That's something they've struggled with more in recent times. It seems like a really long time since they beat the Juventus of Trezeguet and Zidane. Milan lost at Celtic Park. Teams like that, you know, we're talking about real champion teams went and lost there. And now if Brendan Rodgers is finding a place where they can turn that incredible domestic dominance into something that can be tangible, that something can be meaningful in the UEFA Champions League, that's very, very impressive indeed, because it is a step up. Leipzig were a team that a lot of people fancied before the start of this competition, and this is a real genuine scalp, I think. You know, you think until they lost at Dortmund at the weekend, they'd not lost in 19 Bundesliga games. That's more than half a Bundesliga season, by the way. They would have been keen to come out and get that out of their system. Took the lead through Christoph Baumgartner early on, and Celtic didn't panic at all. They were really, really good. And you talked about Kuhn and how good he was. As you say, that equaliser, one of the goals of the night, absolutely extraordinary. And when you think of the team they're building, some such interesting young players. Mm. You look at Kuhn, you look at Arne Engels, who they invested heavily in as well. Celtic are a really interesting team to watch. And maybe that extra experience, you look at Kasper Schmeichel this year, for example, maybe that's helped them get over the defeat at Dortmund, because it would have been easy for that to linger. That was such a big defeat that you could understand if that hung over them, but they've just got on with it and they've done really well since.
Yeah, Kasper Schmeichel and Brendan Rodgers reached a European semi-final, albeit in the Conference League, not that long ago when they were at Leicester. And you sensed it, mentioned again at the start of the season, talking the East End of Glasgow, they really believe they could do something in this league phase, and they have 7 points, which is a terrific start for them. Dortmund were 1-0 winners against Sturm Graz. Daniel Marlon with a late strike for last season's beaten finalists came off the bench 5 minutes left to send Nuri Sahin into raptures on the touchline, and it also finished Bologna 0, Monaco 1. Thilo Kehrer with a very late goal from a corner. Monaco, another very interesting side, packed full of young quality, doing well in Ligue 1 in France, and also are pretty high up in the table after their success. They're third with 10 points, as many as Sporting, and only behind Liverpool. So they are going very well indeed. Still to come on the podcast, we'll look at the early kickoffs in the Champions League on Tuesday.
Champions League Match Day Live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats and much, much more, get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
Goals galore in both of the early matches. PSV took on Girona in Eindhoven, and in Bratislava, it was Slovan against Dinamo, watched by Rob Palmer.
Zegia, all this time and space, and a big opportunity here which can't be taken. Maybe now he can. Followed up and converted by David Strelic. And the Slovan supporters are having a party. Spikic loves to have a dart at the defenders. He's taking on everybody. Oh, the slight touch deceived the goalkeeper. And a superb solo goal by Dario Spikic. Just the players get out of the way. He's got plenty in. There's a brilliant run through the middle. And Perisic gives Dinamo Zagreb a 2-1 advantage. Little step over takes him into the penalty area. Hangs in the air. And it's too good to be true, as it's rolled home by Kulenovic. But strong balls, better than that. Strong. And Kulenovic puts it well beyond Slovan now. And they're making waves in Europe. They're heading for back-to-back successes. Oh, and it's turned in at the near post. Excellent finish by Ryan Flamingo. Tillman might go all the way himself here, and does. Malik Tillman, goal number 6 in all competitions this season. Made room for the shot. And a fine left-footed drive from Johan Bakayoko. In search of a fourth now. Up a guard. And it's going to be an own goal by Krejci.
and that puts a gloss on a really good night for PSV Eindhoven. 4-0 they lead.
Kevin Keating's your commentator there. PSV beating Girona 4-0. And let's hear from their player of the match, Malik Tillman.
I think we played a good match, especially second half. Came out strong. And yeah, tried to score as many goals as we can. And yeah, concede as less as we can. And I mean, a 4-0 win is convincing enough. So yeah, very happy.
And I mean, obviously with the new format, like every goal, every point is vital, of course, every goal. So I mean, it was crucial that you actually got the goals that you play deserved later on in the game.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we got told from in halftime that we have to score as many goals as we can. I mean, yeah, everyone knows it's important. It's a league table, and in the end, goals can decide whether you go to the next round or not.
Well, the person who was asking the questions there was our reporter Derek Brookman, who watched the match at the PSV Stadion, and I spoke with him earlier about PSV and their start man.
Malik Tillman was great tonight. He's been playing like in a holding midfield role the previous three matches, and he'd said himself that he prefers to play further upfield, and you can see why tonight. He's just so decisive especially in the final third of the pitch. Very direct style. I mean, he really knows where the goal is. Lovely, delicate touch that he has too. Yeah, it was great. Great to see him in action tonight. It really was.
And a first victory for PSV in this league phase. Can this be the start for them to claim one of those top 24 spots, do you think?
Yes, I would think so. This definitely feels like a springboard kind of victory. And, you know, they've had some pretty tough matches up until now. If you look at what they're facing now in the coming, I think, three or four matches, you would expect them to pick up the points that they need to make a serious push for a top 24 place. And, of course, this will give them tremendous confidence, even though it was against 10 men for, 40 minutes or so, 35 minutes. You know, this is playing Spanish sides is always difficult. And to win 4-0, it really was something quite special for them.
Girona had a number of former Dutch players in their lineup, of course. Donny van der Beek and Daley Blind, the former Ajax man. You spoke to him from their perspective. What did he have to say, and how do you see the rest of their campaign going?
Well, you know, to his credit, he didn't use they have a horrendous injury list, but he didn't use that as an excuse. You know, he pointed out that they could have scored before PSV did. The match was fairly evenly balanced until the first goal. Then PSV seemed to kick up a gear, and well, as he also said, when it went down to 10 men, then there's no way back. So they just really have to regroup. You know, they lost to another Dutch side, Feyenoord, at home. I think they just have to hope that they can get a lot of key players back and then get their campaign back on track. It's, you know, 4-0 is never that easy to take. So, you know, let's just hope that they can kind of regroup and push on.
And just finally, I know you're still working hard in the stands at the moment speaking to us, but will you get a chance to join those PSV fans out in Eindhoven celebrating this win afterwards yourself?
Well, you know how these things go. And that's the great thing about an early kickoff. You know, there's still plenty of the evening left. And there's a lot of places very close to the stadium that they go to after the game. And, you know, quite rightly so. They did very well tonight. You know, 4-0 in the Champions League. It doesn't happen every day of the week. So they're entitled to have a bit of a party this evening.
Our thanks to Derek Brookman. As you already heard, a good night for Dinamo Zagreb as well in Bratislava. A 4-1 victory over Slovan. We can hear from their player of the match, Sandro Kalenovic.
We came here to win. That was our mentality. We won the 3 points. That's the most important thing. Coach wanted us, he prepared us very good tactically with his staff. We knew what to do, so we stick to the plan. After conceded goal, we fought back to score another one and another one and another one, so we are very happy to turn around this match and win.
7 points now for Dinamo Zagreb. It puts them ahead of the likes of Real Madrid and AC Milan and Paris Saint-Germain and Bayern in the table. Remember, they shipped 9 goals at Bayern on match day one. Some turnaround for the champions of Croatia. There is another night of Champions League football to look forward to this week, and here's what you need to know ahead of Wednesday's games. Mixed news for Arsenal ahead of their match against Inter. Declan Rice missed training on Tuesday and hasn't travelled to Italy. But captain Martin Ødegaard has returned to full training. He's been out since September. Both sides are unbeaten so far and sit on 7 points. With only 3 points thus far, Bayern started this week 23rd in the new league table. On Wednesday, they face Benfica in Munich. And boss Vincent Kompany is happy to admit it's a must win.
The mindset that we, I think, communicate to the team all the time is that every game is a final. But it's a mindset that I took as well from my career, from the many years where I was lucky to have success. But it won't be any different for the game after Benfica.
And Atletico coach Diego Simeone says Wednesday's match against Paris is a big game for me and for Luis Enrique. The two clubs meet at the Parc des Princes on a vital night. Paris have 4 points so far. Atleti are not in the top 24 at the moment after one win and two defeats to their name. Yeah, we're on air from 8.45 CT on Wednesday ahead of commentary of Inter against Arsenal. The other matches, the early games, Club Brugge against Aston Villa and Shakhtar Young Boys. And then the late games, Bayern Benfica, Paris Atleti, Feyenoord Salzburg, Svena Zvezda against Barcelona, Sparta Praha Brest and Stuttgart against Atalanta. A lot to look forward to on Wednesday night, as there was on Tuesday. And now with four games being played, it feels about the right time to go through and start talking about who is where in the table. This is the top eight. If it were to finish right now, which it's not going to, these would be the eight who would go straight through to the round of 16. Inter are eighth on 7 points, although there's a lot of teams on seven behind them in the spaces between ninth and 24th. They go through to a knockout phase playoff place. But Inter at eighth, ahead of them on 7 points are Brest and Manchester City on 7 points. Then come Aston Villa, having played a game left less on 9 points. Borussia Dortmund are fourth on 9 points. And the top three are Monaco in third and Sporting in second on 10. And Liverpool lead the way with 4 wins from 4 and 12 points after that very impressive 4-0 win against Leverkusen. And no surprise, their new manager, Arne Slot, was pretty happy.
It wasn't always easy because Liverpool had, in my opinion, a very good game plan. So they played without a nine, overloading the midfield a lot. So it wasn't that easy to give a good press on them. But they had no goal threat at all during the whole game. I think it took them five minutes before the end, before they had their first big chance. And so we controlled that in a manner quite good. And then to score four, and the way we scored the goals was pleasing to see.
Arne Slot there, who's made such a brilliant start at Anfield. Quick one, I know it's only early November, but I'd like to put you on the spot, Andy and Phil. Are Liverpool contenders to go very deep in this season's Champions League?
Well, I picked them out as my team when we spoke about it off-air beforehand. I feel they've backed me up and then some in that second half. I still think it's very, very difficult to back against Real Madrid. But I think for Liverpool to give as convincing a performance against one of the best teams in Europe, which is what Leverkusen are, it's an incredible statement at this stage.
I think they've risen to every challenge so far, hasn't they? And different challenges that they faced across the first four games of the league phase. So difficult as it is at this stage of the season, of course, I think they've been super impressive. I haven't seen anybody really that has been as impressive as yet as Liverpool. 40 wins out of 16 all competitions under Arne Slot. That is some start.
Certainly is, and we saw the amount of banners of him in the Kop before kickoff. Liverpool fans have really taken to their new coach. What an evening for them, and what a night in the Champions League. Don't forget, you can download the official Champions League podcast shortly after every match night of this season's competition. And Match Day Live is going to be back on air from 8.45 CT on Wednesday. Full commentary of another huge game as Inter host Arsenal in Milan. Martin Ødegaard has travelled with the English side. That is a major boost. Plus, we'll have the goals as they go in from all of the night's late games. My thanks to Andy and Phil for their company this evening. What a night it was for Ruben Amorim and Sporting. But for now, from me, Chris Parrott, and the rest of the Matchday Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.